Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Get all the latest football headlines and bite-sized opinion in the brand new Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Join Mark Smith, Martin Gritton and a conveyor belt of guests as they dissect all the biggest stories in one small, perfectly formed package. Take 5 to 10 minutes out of your day to stay up to date with everything that matters in football. Whether it's a big result from the night before, a new excuse from Jurgen Klopp, a shocker of a VAR decision, or a new chapter in the ongoing Man United soap opera, we will cover it. All the latest news, every weekday lunchtime, on the Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Look for the Whistleblowers wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Sarah Messenger in the chair, standing in for the Nigel Roth Band, and still recovering from the excitement of England's performance against Italy on Friday. As if it's not bad enough not getting to watch City for 2 weeks, we have to endure the England team making even the mighty Phil Foden look average. And there we were, all thinking that it was coming home. Still enough moaning from me. There's plenty to talk about, especially with a Manchester derby coming up. And I'm delighted to be joined by two men who are the epitome of excitement. So, welcome, Edward Timpson. Hello, Edward.
Hello, Sarah. Great to be with you.
Good. Ramp up those excitement levels, Edward, especially if we venture onto the subject of England. And also, welcome to Spencer Debson. Hello, Spencer.
Good evening, Sarah.
Excellent. That's what I like. Excitement to kick us off. Now, the good news is this is the Man City show, so we don't have to talk about England. But I did want to kick off by picking up on something that came out sort of after the match in terms of some of the pundits. And also, I dare to say, a few City fans on Twitter, which is a question mark over Kyle Walker's form and whether he's been the same player since the injury he had towards the back end of last season. So, you know, just to weave in a bit of England, but also, of course, more importantly, City. Spencer, any thoughts from you on whether Walker's form has gone downhill a little bit this season?
Well, I do think it has. And when you're coming off from consistent high levels of performance and when the cameras are on every nook and cranny of the game in and analysing of performances, then you're open to these sorts of criticisms. I do think he has come off a little bit. I think his speed is not quite what it was. And of course, that was his very big attribute. But he's still playing at a high level. I do think he's got a great attitude to the game. Whenever you see him interviewed, you know, he's an absolute professional and I think very focused on giving his best. So I think he's getting too much criticism, but certainly he is off the level that we're used to getting from him year in, year out. That's for sure.
I guess that's one of the challenges, isn't it, playing for City, that you're expected to perform at such a high level that even the slightest drop off gets jumped upon. But he was certainly... some criticised him for standing off the Italian player who scored on Friday night, Edward. Do you share Spencer's view that there's been a bit of drop-off in Walker's form?
I think to a certain extent, yes. In as much as we got so used to him performing at that such high level season after season, and using his pace not only to help us down that right side and in an attacking sense, but also to recover when things don't quite go to plan. But it just seems to be one or two more instances that have crept in more than usual, and maybe some of his physicality has dropped off a little bit. But I think we still have to recognise him as a very high quality, still able to play at a world-class level. It does beg the question, though, over the next couple of seasons, who we're going to be having in that position at City at right back, and maybe now's the time to start thinking. So I think he's around 31, 32 years of age. Where are we going to find the next Kyle Walker or the equivalent right back that we're going to need to take City to the next phase of their development? So he's still a great player. He's still someone I think we'll be able to rely on all season. He's been fairly injury-free, apart from the one he's had recently, which may be still niggling him. But overall, I think we can still rely on him for the rest of this season and recognise that maybe the dip in form every so often.
Yeah, and I think largely most City fans would say that Walker's one of our best ever buys. Certainly, he sort of started at the beginning of the Guardiola period. And I think you're right, Edward. I don't think he has ever really let us down. He's had the odd daft red card. He's had the odd unjust red card as well. But you raise an interesting point about his replacement. Spencer, any thoughts on at what point Walker might need to be replaced, and any thoughts about who might do it?
Well, you know, he is 31, 32, and he has been asked to play in a much more advanced role, I think, in these opening games of this season. And he's, you know, all the players are excellent at City, aren't they? But you might criticise, you know, he's no Cancelo in terms of range of passing and sort of dexterity. You know, he's a classic old-fashioned right back, as far as I would say. So it a little bit depends on, you know, for the next right back to take that perch sort of full time. You know, are we looking for another Cancelo type player, you know, who'll be playing on the offence more than defence, if you like, or are we looking for a player that you know is a safety first person with the sort of pace that Walker's got? Can't answer that question, but certainly you would imagine in a year or 2 years maximum, you know, he would be phased out inevitably, and I look forward to his replacement.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about his replacement is, in the context of how long we hold on to Guardiola for, speaking of excitement, I could barely contain myself when I read on the very reliable source of Twitter that he might be extending for 3 years. Let's hope that's true. But obviously, Cancelo plays in a particular way as a fullback, which I don't think any of us had ever really seen. And you wonder whether how much that will influence City's purchases from now on, in terms of whether they're going to end up with players who fitted the way Guardiola wanted them to play, but don't necessarily play in a conventional way that another manager might want. How much do you think City will be thinking about that as they start to, or you know, continue to map who they might buy over the next 2 or 3 years? Edward, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's worth looking back not that many years ago, when we were really quite worried about the porous nature of our defence when Guardiola first came in, and we were desperate to get a couple of centre-backs that we could rely on, and we got that, and still the left-back issue, which we still ponder. I know Gomez is there, it's still early days, we'll see what happens with that. But the right-back, we haven't really had to think about too much, apart from whether it's Walker or we go for the Cancelo approach, and more recently him playing Stones out there. Which suggests to me that, yes, he likes people who are flexible in the team, so they'll be able to play right back, perhaps another position as well. So that may be where he wants to look. But ultimately, we still have to have a very, very solid, gnarly and reliable defence, irrespective of whether it's left, right, left back, right back, or in the middle. So I would hope that if, in terms of their planning for the future, both looking at the academy, seeing anyone that we can come through and nurture, we'd love to see that at City. We never can have enough academy players in the first team if they're up to it. But also someone who may have some of those Cancelo qualities, but can do the hard stuff and will do the tracking back and will be physical at the back. And that's where Walker actually has been indispensable over the last 4 or 5 seasons, because he's been able to do both, although he may just be starting to lose that edge a little bit. So, and a replacement's going to be very, very hard to find.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned the academy. And of course, one of the interesting things about the academy is most of the players that have had an impact on the first team, Foden being the obvious example, but Palmer and to a lesser extent McAtee, are all midfielders or attack-minded players. And we've not yet brought an academy player through to become a kind of regular part of the defence. I'll sort of leave the strikers out of it because it's such a kind of, and we're very happy with our striker anyway at the moment. But is Rico Lewis potentially an answer for us at right back, Spencer?
I've only seen him a few times. My son Anthony is a really big fan of him. I mean, he does look, he's got flair, hasn't he? So we always respond to the flair and the sort of flamboyance. But, you know, is he a quality right back? Is someone who's really going to bed into the team? You'd like to think it's got great potential. I mean, the ability of the academy to produce, you know, a good number of quality players. I mean, look at the sales that we made this summer, you know, for multi-million, with £30 million of academy players, I think, were sold this summer. So he is a great prospect. I'd love to think he could come through. Wouldn't it be great for another City Academy player to really come through like Phil Foden and establish themselves in the team for years to come? I think that would be a great outcome. So would love to think so. But I must say, I do think it needs to be a sort of a defence first player. I don't think City can handle two Cancelos, if you know what I mean, because it is so unique in what he does. And when we're going forward, I think we tend to drop into a back three and so on, rather than a back two, you know. So I think I suspect we'll go into the market when the time is right and buy big again. But would love to think that he could come through and contribute.
Yes, so somebody who can occasionally hoof it, you mean, rather than always play a beautiful pass with the outside of his right foot or left foot.
I'll take that as well.
That'll do us. So I, as you know, the theme of today's show is excitement, and what could be more excited than a Manchester derby? But before we come to that excitement, sticking slightly with the England theme, it obviously we're building up to the World Cup, which kicks off, I think, in the middle of November and takes us through until Boxing Day when fixtures resume. And it strikes me that, of course, that's the bit of the season when City traditionally motor on. They're not usually the best starters, although we've had a decent start this season. But that's when we really grind out, or indeed flare out, fantastic results and start to put a bit of daylight between us and our rivals, usually. How much do you think the World Cup, Edward, is going to impact on the sort of momentum and rhythm that all football teams need to be successful? Is it going to really make a difference, do you think?
I think that's a really, really good question, Sarah. And we only have ever had a scintilla of what that might be like with the African Nations Cup and players disappearing in January and affecting some Premier teams more than others. But this is going to be much more wholesale. The big clubs like City, who are going to be at the top of the league, are going to lose most of their squad. Fortunately for us, our talismanic striker won't be going to the World Cup unless he's going to go and watch some football. And we've got one or two other players, Mahrez, for example, who won't be there. So we've got potential for any niggles to get rested and then to come back fresh. But I do worry a little bit, your point that you rightly make, that we tend to grow into the season. And with this imposed break, there could be all sorts of consequences, players coming back, losing a bit of form. They don't have a great World Cup and that may then feed into their play in the Premier League. But of course, it's the same for all teams. And you look at Arsenal, who have been on a roll, and maybe this is the thing that's going to break that spell and put them back to where they probably should be, which is just inside the top four rather than nestling at the top of the division. So I think every team's going to have that issue, particularly those in the top six who are going to lose most of their squad. But I think Pep and his team will be conscious of that, and they'll be thinking hard about how they are going to play the games up until the World Cup. We've got 8 games, I think, in October. 5 Premier League games. So there's still a lot to play for. And if we can perhaps get a bit of breathing space between us and the rest of the pack by then and regroup after the World Cup, when, of course, England are going to win it, as we all know, based on the game this week, that will then lead us through to the rest of the season. But yes, it's a new challenge. I think it's an interesting one to see how it's going to play out, because I don't think we can just assume we'll just take up from where we left off.
Yeah. And of course, every City fan loves the words breathing space, whether it's in a game or whether it's halfway through the season. It's one of our favourite phrases. What's your take on this, Spencer? And it's particularly that, because everyone makes a very valid point that, of course, every team is going to be affected, particularly the top teams. But it's the point about momentum, I think, that worries me, because that is something that City are better at than anybody. Every team is affected by rhythm, but, you know, we have been the kings of momentum for the last few seasons. How much do you think this is going to be an issue?
You know, it's impossible to call, isn't it? I mean, all we can say, I suppose, is that all the top teams are in the same boat. They will have most of their squad away on international duty, unless the great exceptions that prove the rule. You know, Erling Haaland's not there. You know, if he carries on and he's had a month rest, then Lordy knows what he might be in. You know, feeling like on return is probably itching to get back. I'm probably frustrated not to be playing in the World Cup. So, and I think from memory, the World Cup ends on the 18th of December. I've not really checked on the things, but I think we then sort of launch back into the league season and sort of hit that with a bang sort of thing. So we can't say whether it'll work in our favour or otherwise, but I do think it's helpful to us clearly that, you know, Mahrez and Haaland are not going. But I think we're in a good vein of form. I mean, I was looking at the Opta stats that came out this week, weren't they? And they were, you know, favourable, as you might expect, to all the City players. But, you know, Haaland, De Bruyne, Cancelo coming high on the sort of critical stats. So I think we'll do well until the World Cup. And there's no reason to think on return that we won't continue that form. Sincerely hope so.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This may well be a one-off, having a World Cup in the middle of a season rather than at the end of it, but it's going to be interesting to see what impact it has on all the teams, I think, when they come back. And just picking up on something you said, Edward, about Arsenal being in their rightful place, fourth or third or wherever you might put them, but certainly not top. I was reading, I read a load of old rubbish, as you can tell from the things I quote on this programme. But one of the things I was reading the other day was that one of these amazing football supercomputer predictors has predicted that Arsenal are going to win the league, I think actually by 3 points from City. City are going to win all their home games, but they're going to lose or draw a few away. And Arsenal are going to, I think they're going to get 86 points and City are going to get 83. Now, obviously, this is hugely reliable, so we're going to take it very seriously. But I guess it's valid just to ask, I suppose, with Arsenal sitting top and performing reasonably well under the guidance of Arteta. Do you think this Arsenal are a serious threat to City? And if not, who are the serious threats this season? Spencer?
Well, I don't think that there's any team that has got the consistency and ability to operate at a high level for a consistent period as City. I really don't. I mean, I think Arsenal, they've had one game against a top six or a traditional top six opponent so far, haven't they? They have struggled to get some of their wins, but wins are a win. I don't think there are many non-Arsenal fans who really think that they have got what it takes to go the full season and really be competing for the title. I would agree with that. You know, Liverpool and Chelsea. Well, Chelsea are in a lot of reorganisation, aren't they? Liverpool too, but I do think that they'll get some form. But I just, when you sort of look at the squad, you look at the development, you look at the quality of City's sort of buying, and of course the Haaland thing, which we hope will go on and on. I personally don't see anybody who, I don't think we're going to win it by 10 points, but I don't see anybody coming that close to us, to be honest. And I think if we can get a good set of league wins now up to the break before the World Cup, I think we'll be well placed to complete the job in the second half of the season. But that's how I feel.
Well, for all any City fans that harbour any doubts, play back what Spencer's just said over and over again to reassure yourself it's all going to be fine. Is that where you're coming from, Edward, on this? Or are Arsenal a threat?
No, I think I'm in the same place. I mean, hats off to Arteta. He has done a fantastic job at Arsenal. I remember when he went there, they were really in the doldrums and he had a bit of a sticky start. But their recruitment, to be fair to them, has been pretty good. They've had some more money thrown at their recruitment than they've had for some time. But
we've given two of ours, Jesus, by the way,
Zinchenko, didn't we? We did. We've given them a helping hand, which I still think we've come off better through the whole transfer window. But so they're in a rich vein of form. They've got their confidence up. They haven't got any major injuries at the moment. And as Spencer said, they haven't been severely tested by a succession of top six matches. So I don't think that they'll stay the course, either because their form dips, or they have some off days, or they have some injuries. But ultimately, I would be surprised if we end up with as little as 83 points, which is an amazing thing to say when we used to be happy with 40. But I think we'd be nearer the sort of late 80s, early 90s this season. I think we should be far enough ahead of the rest to make that another winning season. I do think Spurs are looking a much stronger outfit as well. Conte does have the ability to put a bit of steel into and backbone into the team. And so I wouldn't discount them, but ultimately they will lose enough games and draw enough games not to end up at the summit. And Liverpool, I didn't think they were going to be as good this season, and that's starting to be played out, but they're still going to be ones that we have to watch very closely. And we'll come on to some other teams in a minute, I'm sure.
There's nobody else. Surely, Edward. We're not.
Nobody of substance left, is there?
There were relegation fodder only a month ago, and that was I was particularly enjoying that. But you're right. Yes, we will come on to them because we can get back to the excitement of watching City this weekend. Of course, it's a Manchester derby, first one of the season at the Etihad on Sunday. I think it's a 2 o'clock kickoff. The derbies have been a bit strange, really, in the last few years, because despite the fact we've been streets ahead of them in so many ways and had some amazing performances in derbies, we've struggled at the Etihad. You know, we've not always won at the Etihad. We've had some defeats. So, it's not a game that's as easy. And, you know, let's be fair, they've improved from their shocking start. How do you see the game panning out, Spencer? Do you think City are so much better than United that everyone performs well, it's fairly straightforward win? Or do you think they still pose a threat?
No, they do pose a threat. I mean, these games are always unpredictable, aren't they? Because, you can look at the paper form, you know, and say that City should win. They should win this game. You know, we're at the Etihad. We've got a stable team, United's team, transition. They've made some really interesting signings, haven't they? I don't know, maybe Casemiro will be making his full debut. You know, they've got some good players, and they could and should be up for the match, and especially after the international break. I think we're all really missing Premier League football and having to sort of tolerate the lower standards of international football, to be honest. So we're excited for the game. City should have enough, but it's unpredictable, and they do have match winners on their team. But these are always exciting times. I mean, I was just reflecting on some of the, we might talk about some of the past performances in a while, but there's been some great derbies, and I think it's got the potential to be a good, exciting match. Looking forward to it.
Well, we'll come back to some good derbies in a minute, Spencer, because as you're right, there's been plenty. But Edward, do you think this is a fairly routine home game for City, or are you worried about the threat that United pose?
I think it's a bit of an unknown quantity because there's been so much churn and change in their team from last season, where in both games, home and away, we were so dominant against them, apart from the lucky Sancho goal, albeit he killed it quite nicely into the corner. We were all over them, and it was particularly at Old Trafford, it was actually quite embarrassing how easy it was. But as Spencer alluded to, they've got quite a few new players who we haven't played against before. We got had a habit of when we've let one goal in against United, they've got maybe one or two more, a little spree where we perhaps lost concentration, a bit of belief. So that is potentially on the cards. But on the other hand, I do think one or two of the new players that we've brought in this season make us even more of a threat than we were last season, particularly if the De Bruyne, Haaland, sort of loving and assists party continues, then we should have enough goals to beat them. But we definitely have to be on our game and not get into that sort of habit of if one goal goes in, we then give another one away. So where I'm really interested is what the defence lineup is that Guardiola puts out. Is he going to go for all-out attack, or is he going to try and put a bit more of a brick wall to try and beat some of the pace that United got up front?
Yeah, and bear in mind, they usually, or certainly against us in recent seasons, when they've done well against us, they've done it playing counter-attacking football. Where are you leaning to in terms of what defensive lineup would make sense, Edward?
Well, I mean, I think you have to play partly to form, and the really unanticipated bonus that we've had through the transfer window is, I think, was he 13 or 15 million is Akanji. I mean, where did he come from? I hadn't heard of him. I'm sure great aficionados of the game knew everything about him and all his stats, but he's just seamlessly slipped into the team to the point where he's almost first choice. So it'd be interesting to see whether he gets the nod and whether Stones gets in the team in one position or another. Clearly, Rodri will be at the back there to try and just marshal the midfield and to link with the defence. But I think he will probably go with Cancelo left back and then his two best centre backs that he thinks are available and Walker at right. I've been wrong many times before.
It's an interesting point you raise around Akanji, because you're right. I don't think many of us, if we'd heard of him, it was sort of vaguely remembering a bit of commentary on a Borussia Dortmund game. and I certainly didn't expect him to just suddenly be starting games for City. And he has performed fantastically. So Pep and the team did a good job of scouting and recognising that he would fit seamlessly into City. It wouldn't be surprised if he just start him on Sunday. Laporte should be fit, although I suspect he won't be started since it'll be the first game of the season. But would you expect Akanji to almost be the first centre-back on the team sheet, Spencer? And if so, who might he be paired with then?
Well, look, I've given up sort of second-guessing Pep ever since he played Alex Kolarov in as a centre-back and God knows what else. And I think Pep is such a clever manager that we all try and second-guess, and we generally get it wrong, don't we? I mean, what we don't know really, Akanji has played fantastically well, hasn't he? I was worried when they said that his debut was the best since Eliakim Mangala, and we know what happened there. He had an amazing debut. He looks fabulous. God knows where the scouts get a player like him from, because he's fabulous. But you don't know, is Pep bedding the player in, giving him that vote of confidence, saying you're here to be a fundamental part of the squad? I'm going to run you for the first three games, and he's performed, mm-hmm. and run him on, or would bring the thought that Diaz would be on the bench as a centre back was unheard of, wasn't it? But there he was the other day. So I honestly can't double guess it, but I don't think he'll play Laporte for fitness. He needs games. I really can't second guess it. You'd be surprised if John Stones is right back again, because he is such an elegant footballer and he could be appropriate for United. I couldn't.
Yeah, no, you're right. We're all that is the theme of the Man City show, is that we have to do lots of guessing because we do have a genius managing us, and most of the time he gets it right, and when he doesn't, he gives us plenty of material for the next show. And Aki, we haven't mentioned Aki. He's had a good start to the season. I think he's really highly regarded we seem to be very fortunate in terms of having five high-quality centre-backs from a position not that long ago where it felt like we had one and a half. So any of those combinations don't fill me with dread and fear in the way that perhaps some previous combinations did. And up front, of course, we've managed to do a whole show without focusing too much on the god that plays at number nine for us. But Erling Haaland against Martinez. Apparently, last time Borussia Dortmund played Ajax, Martinez had Haaland in his pocket, allegedly. That's going to be quite interesting, isn't it? Mr. 5'8" against Mr. 6' whatever Haaland is. Edward, are you looking forward to seeing Haaland batter Martinez into submission?
Well, it's going to be potentially pretty tasty, isn't it? I mean, the way it's going at the moment, we essentially start 1-0 up if Haaland's on the pitch, such as his ridiculous goal ratio, which he's kept going. It'd be quite interesting to see how United try and play him, whether they do the man marking, whether they try and sort of push him away from the centre, which is where he makes most of his runs and where he causes most damage. Try and be a bit cute with him. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, we will find him in the right place if we put the ball in the right path. From the byline. And what's interesting, I saw another stat saying compared to last season, we're putting in less crosses, but our success rate is much higher. And that has to be down to the, particularly the De Bruyne-Haaland axis. The two seasons before this season, De Bruyne's assists actually dropped a little bit off. That's partly to do with Sergio not being there, not having a striker to aim for, but they're much higher up where they used to be this season, if not one of his best seasons. So I think Haaland will be, if not the danger man in the box, he will also be such a worry for United that he'll create other space for the likes of Foden, Grealish if he plays, Bernardo, Mahrez if he plays, which will also play into our hands. So it's every way you look at it, I think they've got a pretty unenviable task trying to control Haaland throughout the whole game. And he doesn't normally play 90 minutes. So it was, we've seen with hat-tricks so far this season, he can sometimes just need 20 minutes and he's finished the game off. So even if they just lose him for a few minutes during the game, that could be curtains.
And one of the players that I wanted to ask you both about as well is Alvarez, who... And it reminded me when Spencer made the very good point around Kante just being bedded in quickly by Pep and told, I've got confidence in you, you know, you're going to play. That isn't quite the same approach that he's taken with Alvarez, although Alvarez, I think, has come on in pretty much every game. There might be one game he didn't come on, but he's certainly making a contribution and is already becoming a bit of a cult hero with City fans. Is the derby on Saturday, Sunday, is the derby on Sunday a game at home, a game where Alvarez could start with Haaland?
Well, I would love that. Honestly, before the season started, I was as excited to see Alvarez as Haaland. And as incredible as Haaland is, I would love to see Alvarez get more pitch time because he is an outstanding player. I mean, there's a lovely cameo at the end of the Dortmund game where he sort of tipped it over the oncoming defender. I wish that had gone in, you know, and it just the keeper saved it. But I mean, he is quality. And I think he's also been nurtured at River Plate before he joined City in the same way as Foden was. You know, Julian Alvarez, he's ready to go. I think he's a thoroughbred, I really do. And it's simply the fact that he's surrounded by all these wonderful players that he's being, you know, bled into the team, if you like, rather than a starter. But I would reckon by the time we reach the second half of the season, he will be in the team as a sort of quasi first choice. And I'd love to see him start the game. I don't think he will, but I'd love to see him get some pitch time in the derby.
And are you excited by Alvarez? Edward, would you start him on Sunday?
Well, if like me, Sarah, you have some Sergio withdrawal symptoms and you're looking for another Argentinian, sort of, you know, a little sort of Rottweiler who can just bounce off people and has incredible ball skills and balance and an eye for goal, then we've probably got the next best or closest thing in Alvarez. Similar to Spencer, I've just been blown away by watching him. The game when he scored two goals, I know Haaland got the plaudits by getting the hat-trick, but just the quality of those goals, his attitude, his stamina for someone of his age, he didn't look overawed by the occasion. I think we've got an absolute gem in Alvarez, and I think Pep's doing the right thing by bringing him into the team gently, a little bit like he did with Foden, Perhaps he'll do it a little bit quicker, though, I think, with Alvarez. He's probably a more finished product than when Foden first broke into the first team. And I think it would be a potentially another masterstroke from Pep to play Alvarez alongside Haaland. I don't think United will expect him to do that. They've never played against Alvarez before. They don't know necessarily how good that we know he is. And he just gives, I think, something different that is quite unexpected. And the fact that he also scores goals, he's already proven that in a very short space of time, suggests that he is definitely going to be someone that we at City are going to take to our hearts, like we did with Sergio. Whether he'll get as far as having a statue outside the ground, I don't know. But he's, going back to your excitement theme, he's a very, very exciting player. And I'm delighted that he's signed for City at the age that he has, because we're going to see the best of him, I'm sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
a seamless mention there of the word excitement, Edward, which, as you rightly say, is the theme of today's show. And of course, as we all know, Pep doesn't pick a team until he's listened to the Man City show. So it's three very clear votes for Alvarez to start, or certainly to play a significant amount of time on Sunday. But let's see what happens. Which brings me to the sort of final task we have, which is, of course, to do a bit more guesswork, Spencer, and offer some score predictions for the game on Sunday. So I know you love a guess, Spencer. Go on. What's the score going to be?
I've just watched the 2011 6-1. I've just watched the 2002 Sean Gota knocking a couple in for a 3-1 win. So I'm going to go somewhere. I think there will be goals in this game. I'm going to go 3-1 City.
3-1. Is that how you spend all your time, Spencer, rewatching old Derby victories?
All my most exciting and pleasurable time, yes.
It's a completely normal thing to do, Spencer. You carry on. 3-1, says Spencer. What do you say, Edward?
Well, touching on what I said before, that we often give a goal away against United, I'm thinking that, yes, they probably may get one in the back of our net by luck or by judgment, but we're going to have too much firepower. You know, I'm going to go 4-1. I'm going to go big.
Fantastic! I love it. Well, I'll bring a bit of balance then. I'll be the ever pessimistic City fan. I do think we'll win. I do think we'll let in a goal, but I'll go for a very modest 2-1. Hopefully, one each for Erling and Julian. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Like that.
So let's bring the show to a close. It's been really good to talk to you both. So let me say thank you to Spencer Debson and to Edward Timpson. We'll see you again next week. Thank you.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.